the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Jamie Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. And this week, we'll be joined by a very special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas. And he'll be talking about working with playing cards today. And together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to ameliorate and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. And you can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, well, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a few moments, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Nice to talk to you, Miss Tammy Lee. And I'm gonna say it's always a pleasure to spend just a moment finding out what's happening in your part of the world.
Well, thank you very much, Miss Kat. And like I had mentioned a few weeks back, the flowers are blooming, and we've got some really pretty wisteria growing right within our reach. And I've been working actually with some wisteria, and I just really have a great respect for their herbs and roots. So much so, not just from what you taught me, but certainly my great grandmother as well, and certainly from what I learned in your book. But to treasure and bless just everything, and just anyone that has ever taken your class or worked from what we have all call and coined, actually, I say the Green Bible. You know, y'all just really remember that this is a living, breathing, it's a spirit that we work with, and you don't just yank a flower off of a rose bush. You don't just do that. You don't just yank anything off just to yank it. I mean, for Lord's sake, okay, you just don't do that. So so when we say to work with lavender, work with roses, work with wisteria, work with all these wonderful plants, you know, there's ways to work with them. And Miss Kat has a plethora of information out there for you. All you really have to do is go to the main site at Lucky Mojo, and you can get to tons of information through her site. You can go all the way back into archives and archives and archives that go back into the 1990s. But you can definitely get into you can order her book, Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, which is the Green Bible, and also the ever-growing, here we go, I'm actually walking and talking, but the ever-growing online book that will never stop growing as far as I'm concerned, but Hoodoo in Theory and Practice. And that's Miss Kat, you will and always have been my teacher. And so that's what I have to say about that. But wisteria is what's going my way. And so
wow.
I just thought I'd add that, okay?
All right. Well, thank you for that ringing endorsement. That was unexpected, sweetheart.
thank you.
I'll tell you that the wisteria are blooming here in California, too. And everything is hopping. We have been working hard on the upcoming books for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. And we are going to be talking more about the festival, and we'll talk more about the upcoming books. But just to get everyone to know what the books are that we are working on is a deck of spells with Professor Porterfield, and we are going to be having Professor Porterfield with us right here in a few minutes talking about this book. It's about playing cards and magic. There is a Hoodoo Shrines and Altars by Miss Phoenix, and that is about exactly what it says it is, Hoodoo Shrines and Altars, how to make them, how to use them, what they are not. There is a book called Hoodoo Return and Reconciliation Spells on Love Magic for Return and Reconciliation by Deacon Millett, the author of the very popular Hoodoo Honey and Sugar Spells book. And this is another book in his series of books on love, and going to be a really great book. Then Deliverance is a book on uncrossing, protection, and healing by Kai Armand, who we've had as a guest before. Wonderful guest. It's going to be a great, great book. And there is my own book, Paper in My Shoe, which is about petition papers, prayer papers, name papers, and basically how to use all of those in magic, drawing on all forms of folk magic, but primarily hoodoo. Also, the long-awaited, large and complete volume of Trolldom is going to press this week. We published last year a 96-page preview of the very first part of the Book of Trolldom, just the part about the history of Trolldom and about divination. But now the entire book, which is all of the spells, because that's, of course, we just gave you a taste. And that book has been, the taste is free, by the way. If you want a free 96-page book and you order anything from Lucky Mojo while supplies last, we printed 1,000 copies. We still are giving them away. You have to ask, though. We want them only to go to people who like them. And what we want to do is get rid of all of those to people who want to have them. So the real book is 288 pages, not 96 pages, okay? And it's a bigger book. It is going to press, and usually it takes, 3 weeks to a month before a printed book comes back to us. And so there you go. And we want you all to get your free copy of Trolldom. If you order any book from us, any book like the Hoodoo Spiritual Baths by Aura, or Throwing the Bones by me, or Bone Shells and Curios by Michelle Jackson, or The Art of Hoodoo Candle Magic, or the Hoodoo Food Cookbook, any one of these books, Bible Magic by Professor Porterfield and Miss Michaele, any book, ask for the Trolldom book to be included for free. It's free, okay? All right. Having said that, let me check in with my beautiful co-host, Conjurman Ali. How are you today, Ali?
I am doing lovely. Thank you for asking, Ms. Kat. I've had a fantastic busy weekend, and it's nice to come and hang out with everyone in the chat room. I see a lot of our regulars are attending, so I'm very happy to see everyone and looking forward to talking about this topic with Professor Porterfield. I don't think we talk about playing cards a lot, and it's unfortunate. The tarot has really dominated the cartomancy scene, and in more and kind of the resurgence of Lenormand. So I'm very excited about our topic.
Yeah, I am too. It's just it's a really interesting thing. I'm going to bring a Professor Porterfield in and say hello, Professor.
Hello, Professor.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Oh, funny man.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Right. That's where I learned that joke. Professor Porterfield, for those of you who do not know him, Charles Porterfield, otherwise known as C.D. Porterfield, is a root worker, a very outspoken person, a writer, and he has his own show, the Now You Know Show. If you are not a fan of the Now You Know Show, which airs every Thursday, you ought to tune in on that thing. You can get it in the chat room. You can get it in the archives. The Now You Know Show is serious business. Every week there are spells given out. There is an herb or root discussed. There are passages from the Bible, the secrets of scriptural sorcery are discussed. And, of course, we have the professor's pontifications, which are basically Charles ranting. The rant, which we love. And it's an experience. I don't know if we're going to get a visit from any of the other strange beings who surround Charles, but those who know the show will know that Charles has a lot of radio voice experience, and there's more than just Charles on the Now You Know show. We also are sometimes graced with the voices of Dr. Love, Phil Patchy Fogg, Winkerson, Johnny, who doesn't have a last name, and Dr. Fire Ant, and my gosh, there's a few more. And they all have something to say about magic, folk magic, hoodoo, conjure, and how to live an upright life. I think that's one of the major things that you promote, Professor Porterfield, is how to be good and do good.
Well, thank you, Ms. Kat.
And wig snatching, and llamas. Right, there's a lot about llamas on the show.
So, there is a lot of llamas, that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
But, oh, and the Aussie guy, says Susan Barnes in the chat room. What, does the Aussie guy even have a name? I'm not sure.
Yeah, Charlie Witherspoon, yeah.
Charlie Witherspoon, oh, well, of course. I'm so sorry.
Who else could it be?
Right.
Who else could it be?
Right. So, the Now You Know show is a ton of fun. And Charles has taught classes at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival and will be doing so this year. And his last book that he co-wrote with Miss Michael, which is Hoodoo Bible Spells, has been an absolute runaway hit. That book is on everybody's coffee table and should be in everybody's hands, and everybody should be reading that book. It is selling very well. We're very happy, and Charles has brought forth another book. And this book is called A Deck of Spells. It's at the printer now. And so without any further ado, take it away, Patchy Fogg. Now, take it away, Charles.
Take it away, Patchy Fogg. Well, we'll try to keep Patchy away from the show today. We have the spell. It is at the printer. And I got to tell you, like I've been saying, I could not have done it without the world's greatest book production team. Which, of course, is Miss Kat and Nagashiva and Gray Townsend, who is an incredible artist who does the covers for our books, and he does such an exquisite job at it.
Yes.
And this book has been in the works for a little while and kicked around and finally has come to light, A Deck of Spells, Hoodoo Playing Card Magic in Rootwork and Conjure. And this started for me quite some time ago because of work that I was doing with a beloved mentor and teacher of mine, Mr. Charles Hansen of Georgia, who's mentioned in the book, who was one of the first people that I started to become aware that there were these tricks, these uses of playing cards in traditional hoodoo and conjure. And so from there I set out to start putting those together and finding them all. And once you start looking, sometimes you're lucky and you start finding them. And there they were. As Kat can tell you, dozens in Hyatt and in other places, in older books and amongst older workers. And why this has passed out of the four, I think that my dear colleague, Conjure Man Ali, kind of headed that off at the top of the show. Tarot has become.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. It's become, you know, more popular. And then Lenormand. And somewhere along the way, this use of playing cards kind of died off or lost interest. And so what we're hoping to do here is just to kind of shed a little light, to turn that lantern on those and say, hey, no, it's still here. It's still out there, you know. Don't let it get lost. Pick it back up.
I'm gonna say a couple things about that myself. Most people who have taken my Hoodoo Rootwork Correspondence course know that I talked at length about playing cards, tarot, and their role. And, and Charles, you mentioned this in the book, that tarot became popular simply because the Rider-Waite-Smith deck fell out of copyright. And because
that is correct.
That set the tarot thing in motion. And, of course, a revised or edited version was put out by U.S. Games, and they own the copyright, legally own the copyright to their version.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some issues with whatever, let's just not even go there. But that made Tarot the thing it became. And Stuart Kaplan, the head of U.S. Games, seized the idea and began printing everybody else's deck. He's an art lover, an art collector, and he put out one deck after another, many of them based on the Rider-Waite deck. So that kind of made it a cultural phenomenon, primarily among the professional occultists, card readers, neo-pagans, magicians. And as a card reader, it's a very pretty deck to work with. But playing cards do precede Tarot, but not everywhere. Tarot is an actual playing card deck, so it's not that it's a separate thing. But I'm going to go to something else, which is, this is not a book about just playing cards and why we shouldn't forget them. This is a book about playing card spells. And the oldest spell, and I know this because I edited the book, I wouldn't have known this unless I cracked the book open, the oldest spell that uses a playing card that we have a record of is from 1603, but that spell mentions that it's the second time that the author has seen the spell and that it was done earlier with someone else. And it's the same. It's a death spell with a playing card. So this is not something new. And the reason I mention this is because, Charles, I know there's a lot of people wandering around the Internet with a lot of crack-brained opinions. And one of them is, Charles made this up. And I've seen it. I never heard of this. Charles made this up. Oh, no, no, no. And when you mention Hyatt, what we're referring to, for those to whom this is the first radio show they've ever heard of ours, and they just happen to tune in, we're referring to an Anglican minister and folklorist named Harry M. Hyatt, Harry Middleton Hyatt, who interviewed 1,600 black American practitioners of root work from 1935 to 1970. In other words, the entire middle third of the 20th century. And he published this in books. And among those people, there were many who used playing cards and spells. They were not all from one place. It was not all one person. It was common. And he recorded, of course, many people who used the Bible and spells, and many people who used herbs and roots. And there's many, many types of work that was done that Harry Hyatt recorded. But the fact that there were so many playing card spells, it tells us, any one of these people that you, if you run into them on Facebook, just tell them, nope, that ain't so. When the book comes out, they'll shut up. But it's been interesting. Once the book was announced, there was this whole scramble of, no, this doesn't exist. And it's very fascinating to me that, of course, it does exist. And it's beautiful. Charles, what you did with the 52 spells was, to me, a phenomenal tour de force, because some of this is, of course, Charles's work. And Charles, you took all 52 cards in a deck, plus the jokers.
That's right, plus the jokers.
And you made one spell for every card. That's a deck of spells. That's why the book is called A Deck of Spells. Hmm. And we're going to get into what some of those are. But the idea of using playing cards in spell work actually is an amazing thing. First of all, they are written papers, right? They have words on them like Joker. They have symbols on them like numbers and symbols. Some of them, of course, tarot cards have pictures. Some of them you write on the card. Some of the cards are, in some of the spells, the cards are pinned, the cards are sewed, the cards are stapled, folded, mutilated, burnt, and in all ways dealt with. And so playing card magic is quite varied. It's not just one thing. So let me ask you a question. Ollie, have you ever worked with playing cards in magic before?
I have. I will be honest, I have a very interesting relationship with playing cards. In my family tradition, my grandmother reads playing cards, and it's a very old way of doing it. Interestingly, it's done in a yes or no format, and it's done in magical work as well. But I had a bit of an odd experience. I mean, I can read playing, and she taught me. She taught me playing cards. I love playing cards. I work quite well with them. But I don't use them very commonly. I'm a tarot card reader. My root work teacher was one of the rare exceptions. She actually used tarot. And growing up, it wasn't common. And this is what I find particularly fascinating, is that even though I am a tarot card reader because my teacher was a tarot card reader and I just took to it, the reality was, when I was growing up, all the root workers that I knew, and predominantly I would say a lot of female root workers, read playing cards. But today, when I look around, I don't see that. I see, especially online, I see more tarot readers than I see playing card readers. And I find that a particularly fascinating, you know, kind of flip that's happened. And I do use the tarot, the playing cards in magical work. I actually like to burn them. So I put, write petitions on them, and then I burn playing cards to ash. I find that really powerful work when it comes to putting them underneath vigils or doing work with them in that regard. But they don't feature as prominently as in my work as other things, which is why I find this topic so fascinating. I come at this from a different background, a different kind of my own personal experience with it, and more of an academic study. So I think the work that Charles is doing is absolutely fantastic. Because someone like me, I'm looking at it and going, yes, this is great. What happened to this work?
Yeah, he's really uncovered some things. Charles, we really have to give you credit. Much of this was submerged knowledge, not well known. I contributed one spell that I knew with playing cards, which involves Ace of Hearts. And I realized in editing the book, and Charles can vouch for this, I realized I had actually been myself the victim of a playing card spell.
Yes.
That I didn't realize at the time. And this was many, many, many years ago. I was probably 21 years old, and someone laid a trick for me with a playing card, and I just went, oh, cool, look, a playing card, you know. And it was only in working on this book that I realized, holy crap, I know who did this to me. I know when they did it. I know why they did it. And I know how they got it me to pick up that card. And wow, you know, that was like the confirmation that people are using this stuff all the time. Playing cards can be a link to a person, too. In other words, a person can dress the cards and use them. For instance, we always talk about dressing someone with powders. You put a little powder in your hand and you touch them, or maybe a little oil in your hand, you shake their hand. But imagine sitting around playing cards with somebody with a dressed deck. See, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. There's a lot of ways to use playing cards that are very interesting. And not just to win at gambling, but you might want to win someone's heart, you see.
Yeah, I knew a guy who used to do that. I knew a guy who was, he was, you know, professional root worker, but his family did root work. And so he picked up things, you know, how family traditions are passed on, right? So he didn't call it root work, but it was his family tradition of conjure, and it was part of the wider traditions of voodoo, but he himself was a card magician, and he loved playing card tricks, and he used playing cards to also, I guess for lack of a better word, pick up women, and he would dress certain cards with powders that he learned from his grandma, and then he would do the magic trick, and then end up with the girl having the card that he wanted. You know, it was, he had this whole
there's
spiel,
a lot of magicians.
Yeah,
there's a lot of card magicians who will force a card on a lady and then give her the eye. I've seen it happen. It is a great pickup thing. You got to force the right card on them. Of course, you're not going to want to force the Queen of Spades on them or something that they know to be
right.
But yeah, there's a lot of tricks that actually involve changing one card to another. Changing the Queen of Spades to Hearts is an old magician's trick, for instance, and that may be the kind of thing we're talking about. There are also, though, this Deck of Spells book really goes into using the cards for everything, protection. Charles, why don't you share one of those protection spells that uses cards?
Well, before I do that, I want to say something about what's going on in the chat room. We have people talking about that famous game of 52 card pickup. You know, when your parent or your grandparent goes, oh, yeah, here, play this. Okay, or people were also talking about pickup sticks and other similar games. And one of the things that is important to me about this book is that this book goes back to address the early history of playing cards and how they originated out of China, out of the same process that developed what would eventually become dominoes. And it clearly points out that playing cards, when they're not being used as a later developed into cartomancy, were originally a form of sortilege. And so there is that connection. This does go back, in a sense, to throwing the bones. This does that idea of pickup sticks and 52-card pickup. No, yeah, you know, playing cards can be used that way. They are originally a form of casting lots. You just have a whole handful of lots.
Right.
I just wanted to touch on that because everybody was talking about that. Well, in terms of protection, what we see is we have a lot of cards traditionally being tacked up above or around doors as a form of protection. And that, first of all, is kind of important because, as Miss Cat herself has pointed out, the door itself is that same shape as a playing card, all right? So it has the, say, it's calling back to it. But we have examples of people saying, well, you take these particular cards. Let's say you take the ace and king and jack and ten of diamonds or of spades, and you tack them up either directly above the door, or you tack them or place them at the four corners of the door, the top and the bottom of the door. And that's just one example of using them as a form of protection, where you will be tacking them. We have an example in the book of a spell given by a woman in the sporting life, a working girl from way back in the day. And in her case, because she has clients in her room, she has the cards facing in. They're on the inside of her door. They're watching into her room for her. But in the book, we also have examples from bootleggers to keep an illegal establishment safe from the law. And they've got their cards on the outside, see? So it also speaks back to that work that we all know about using the Indian head scent as a lookout. So here we have people using, in this case, sometimes the face cards as a lookout. And then I give a spell even in the book to use one of the one-eyed jacks because of the direction he's looking as a lookout as well.
Right. There's another one. Speaking of putting the cards around on the wall, reminds me of that incredible spell, How to Get a Man Back, by putting a card at the back of the headboard of the bed. I'm not going to tell you what the card is or what you do with it, but there is a whole – this is an old spell. And basically the card is a doll baby and of the person. But how you pick that card is part of the spell. In other words, you don't say, my husband who has left looks like this particular king or jack or whatever. There's a whole way to get to the card that you're going to use. So there's kind of a sortilage on the cards, and then once you have the right card that is the significator of that person, then that card is used in the bed, at the headboard of the bed, but behind the bed, and then is used in a ritual to get the husband to return. These are amazing spells that have been, you know, rediscovered, and then, of course, some created using the style and method to make a whole book of them. There are amazingly varied uses for these cards. Again, I'll just we all know about hearts and love, and of course, even in Tarot, we often use the cups for that too. But the use of spades and the use of clubs, they have meanings. Can you just talk for just a minute about the four suits and the because people say, how do I translate a tarot knowledge into playing card reading? And of course, one way, as we all know, is to just take and assume it would be the same card. In other words, four of hearts is the four of cups. And whatever meaning I learned for the four of hearts, I can translate to the four of cups. But there are traditional playing card meanings also. So could you just talk about the suits a little bit?
Yes. The thing that fascinated me about this when I started studying this a number of years ago is that in certain systems of cartomancy, so you have Tarot or you have the Lenormand, the Petit Lenormand, the variation of meaning about your quote-unquote suit or an individual card, there's some variation, but there's not a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's in a little family. But when you come to playing cards, all of a sudden this variation is huge, and it's cultural, and it's where and when in that culture as well. And so you have the meaning of the Spanish cards are not going to be the meaning, you know, that you find from Tupelo, Mississippi in 1932, et cetera, et cetera. And so what I have attempted to do in the book is to kind of talk about the meanings that relate to America, that relate to the South, that relate to hoodoo and conjure, and relate to the time frame that we are a part of in our practice. And within that, the hearts generally represent the emotions and emotional matters, things of that nature, love, etc., as well as romantic relationships, but not so much romantic rendezvous. Diamonds represent our material things, not our work, but what we get from our work, as well as the things we own. But then also they have this connotation of romantic rendezvous, illicit affairs, parties, material sensualities. And the clubs represent our work, how we earn our keep, what we're doing, what our goals are, what we are setting out to try to make in the world, but also our friends and associates that we're not necessarily maybe having romances with or illicit affairs with, our siblings, etc. And then finally, the spades represent, well, tears and troubles and trials and tribulations, but also the trials and tribulations that bring us knowledge or garner us wisdom by some part. So that's those are the general headings that you find primarily in America and in the South in the time frame that we're talking about.
Well, that's see, now there is a section of the book on several divination methods.
Yes,
and so nobody needs to doubt. These are very simple, very quick divination methods. And not only just by memorizing the cards, but by memorizing the suits, the colors, the structures. And that is part of what this book does, is give you in one place both the spells and also the meanings. Because isn't it true, Charles, that one of the things you do when you want to catch which spell to use is you're going to often do a small reading for somebody too, right?
That's absolutely true. And in fact, the proposition that I'm putting forward is this. Playing cards, because they're pretty much ubiquitous in our society, they're everywhere. And you can buy them pretty much anywhere, any time of day or night here in America. You can pick them up in the grocery store, in a gas station, and down here you can buy them in a bait and tackle shop, okay? Anywhere, any time of day, you can walk in and somebody has a deck of cards sitting behind some counter. And because they are relatively inexpensive by comparison to, say, an artisan tarot deck, which is a thing of beauty that you obviously want to keep, the thing about playing cards is they have a disposability to them. So you can sit down with a client, open up a deck of cards, or with yourself alone, do divination with these cards. And then from that divination, seeing what it is that's going on, take cards out of that reading. Let's say, as an example, you're sitting down with a client, and this client comes to you and she says, "I believe my husband is cheating on me." All right, you do a really quick reading for her. And sure enough, in the reading, here comes a card that represents the husband. Here comes the card that represents a woman who he's working with at his place of business, and she is, in fact, trying to lure him away by the reading of the cards. But the cards tell us he hasn't quite yet not done anything about it, but his eye is caught. Now you finish the reading. You can now take the card that has represented him from the reading and say, okay, I've already got him. I've already got my contact to him through the reading.
Right.
Now I can write his name on this card. I can use this card to represent him in my spell work. Oh, look, here's the card that represents that hussy who's trying to steal him away. Well, now I've got her. I've got her card, okay? I can put her down on it. Even if I don't have her name, I already have a connection to her through this reading. And you can take these cards and then others from the deck that you didn't necessarily use, and you can go and you can create your spell with them. You can use this in terms of a traditional spell, like where we have, oh, the two figural candles to one side representing the couple we want to keep safe, barred by a pair of scissors from the rival that we're going to be moving away. And we're just going to add those cards in to that spell. We're going to place them under those figural candles. We're going to pin them to those figural candles. The use of the cards, and this is what almost overwhelmed me the more I dug, is exactly what we're talking about. You can use them as a baby doll. You can burn them up and add them to incense. You can burn them up and add them to powders. You can shred them and add them to an oil. So you can take your three jacks and a king cards and shred them up and add them to your three jacks and a king oil, okay? You can use them with your candle magic. You can use them as beautiful, stylistic kind of petition papers. Everything you need, you can use these as a component of. Not to take the place of, but as an addition to. And as a link between the bridge of your divination and your work. And of course, you're never going to sit down with your favorite, beautiful, expensive set of tarot cards, do a reading, and then take the devil card to help this person under a curse and tear it into shreds.
Right.
You know? I will just say that I completely agree with your logic, but I have tarot cards that are missing cards that have been burnt, that have been shredded. So some of us do actually do that.
Yes,
well, you can only
do
it, yeah, but the thing is, at $20 a deck for tarot cards,
very true.
You got a problem there, and most people would have a problem, because the next time you need the card, you got to do it again. But another thing that, Charles, that you do talk about is having envelopes on hand in which you save broken decks. And
that's
also
right.
Cards that have been cut and had pieces cut off. One of the things that I learned from this book was fantastic, was how to use just the index corners of the cards when you don't want the whole card. And that's there's a lot of things there that involve the index is kind of the refined magical corner of the card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's a very old working, too, to just take the corners of the cards. To add them to a mojo bag would be one of the traditional uses.
All right. Well, we got a lot going on here. You're listening to the Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, and we'll be right back and take some readings. We hope to talk more with Charles on this when the book comes out. Okay? We'll be right back. Uh-oh. Do we have Tammy Lee? I do not hear her. Hello? Does anyone hear me?
I can hear you.
Kat? Miss Kat?
Yes?
Is there a delay? Hello?
Yes,
hello?
There you are. Hello?
Hi. I beg your pardon. Hello? Y'all, we're going to go ahead and we're going to break. if y'all can hear me. Can we hear? Delay?
Yes, we can hear you. Yes, we can hear you, Miss Tammy Lee.
I beg your pardon, ma'am. Y'all, we're ready. When we're going to break. Here we are. It's live. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali. And this week's very special guest, Professor Porterfield, will be right back. And we'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. And you can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by the area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello, excuse me, and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over. Time to go to the phones and take our first caller. And our first caller is Christina, calling in from St. Louis, Missouri, from 314. Are you there, caller? Hello? Christina?
Uh-oh.
Hello?
We don't seem to have a Christina.
Okay.
Going once? Going twice? Do you have
she
another
caller?
She seems
to have dropped off at the time that I connected her.
Okay.
917, perhaps?
Yeah, let's try 917. There you go.
Sure. Okay.
I'm here.
917. Okay, 917. This is Ava. Ava from New York City. All right. Okay, Ava, here we go. I'm just going to go ahead, and you're an active listener. Thank you so much for being a loyal listener. We appreciate that. And you did have a radio reading. You indicate two. It says two months. It looks like two MOD, so 2 months ago. And I'm just going to assume that that's what that is, okay? And
yeah, sorry.
Okay. It's okay, sweetheart. Okay. And you're right. My boyfriend and I, we're pregnant, and I recently had a miscarriage, and I'm sorry about that. I'm wondering if you see us having children in the future. I'm 41, or approximately 41, and if so, what can I do to ensure a successful pregnancy? In addition, my boyfriend has a child from a previous relationship, and the ex is constantly interfering and trying to get him back by the child. And I'm not trying to keep him away from his child, as I have one also from a previous relationship. I just don't need her constantly manipulating her way into our relationship. My question is, will she be successful in drawing him back to him since they have a child? Turning it back over to you all.
Okay. Hello, Ava.
Hi.
Thanks for trusting us with your questions. I'm going to ask a couple of questions here, and as I always do, what sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Scorpio.
Scorpio, good. And what sign is the boyfriend?
Leo.
Leo. And do you happen to know the sign of the ex?
Aries.
Aries. Okay. I think I remember you, and I remember this before. Maybe
no,
did we
I didn't,
read on,
I didn't
we didn't read
this.
On this. No, okay.
No,
well,
no, it was more
Scorpio
about
and yeah, Scorpio and it was a different issue. Okay, a Scorpio and Leo are somewhat at odds with one another. They're both fixed signs, and they can both be very stubborn. Aries and Leo are somewhat in harmony with each other. They're both very fiery, and they like to you know, come on into situations and kind of take over. So they get along okay together. They work as allies. They're harmonious. So there is a reason for cause for concern, because the ex, in some ways, astrologically, and I'm only speaking of sun sign here, astrologically the ex does have a connection to the boyfriend that is based on more than just a child, but has some astrological harmony built into it, which you might find a little conflicted. So now I'm going
to read. Actually, I got a deacon did a astrological sign for me and him, and we were in harmony too.
Oh, good. Okay, so there were other things besides your sun sign. Thank you for telling me that.
Yeah,
because
and they broke up several times. His ex and them they broke up 5 or 6 times, and she accidentally got pregnant. Like, he didn't want the child. He wanted her to abort the pregnancy. She didn't want to. He felt leveraged, and you know, he still really hasn't seen the child. So, like, their relationship was very tumultuous. Like, he felt like they didn't have a connection. It wasn't the right thing. Yeah. So I just wanted to do that.
I understand. Okay. So she's trying to come back, but she's also not really stepping up to the plate as a wife.
No, they're we're never married.
Right. Okay. I understand. All right. So the question is, will she be successful in drawing him back since they have a child? All right, now I'm going to run 3 cards here, and this is called the old 3-card cut. It's a form of reading, and I use the Tarot because it has 78 cards, and it's, you know, easy. 78 cards gives you 78 choices of ideas. The number 1 is a card that says there is some difficulty in the situation as you've described it. This is a card I don't like to see come out as the card number 1. It's called the 7 of Swords. And what I mean by difficulty as you've described it, this is a card we call the liar or the tale teller or the bearer of false witness or the thief. And it's a card that is never a good card in terms of the truthfulness of a situation. When it comes out first, it says to me, there's something about this situation I have not yet understood, or that you told me incorrectly, or that somebody told you incorrectly. Now, I'm going to take the point of view that you would not be calling a radio show and lying to me, although I have had people actually do that. But I don't think that's the case here. I mean, people that actually called and made up things. So
I think the lying part that you're picking up is that we don't know if that's his child. He doesn't have a paternity test.
Aha.
He doesn't know.
Okay, now it's coming out. See, this is exactly, because this card, I call this card, a lie has been told, but God will find it out. And so this being the first card, there is very little chance that she will get him back, because she is a liar, and he probably knows that. And this is not the first time she's lied and tried to steal resources or whatever. So he needs to do a paternity test if he's going to do any child support. This is very important, because the card says, a lie has been told, but God will find it out. And it will be found out, okay? Absolutely will be found out. The second card is a card called the right of refusal, or the offer that can be refused. And it shows a man sitting under a tree being offered a golden cup, and he shakes his head, folds his arms, and says, no way. He's been offered it three times. There's three previous cups on the grass. He's going to turn her down. And he has turned her down in the past, and he will turn her down up unto the fourth turn down, at which point maybe she'll get the news and stop bugging. But he is determined to say no. It's not a problem. So I'm not seeing him going back to her. What I'm seeing is she is a liar. He is able to, she offers her seeming heart, or the cup is a heart, but he is able to say no and will continue to say no. It's the offer that can be refused. The third card is a card that tells me that you need to do some defensive work. It's the Queen of Wands. Queen of Wands is a woman on a throne. She is got the clothes on of a royalty. It's golden dress and a silver cloak. Behind her, the sands of the desert, half silver, half gold for day and night. She has a sunflower in her hand. She's of an optimistic disposition. She has lions, which is Leo. You probably need to get a little bit of leonine nature going on here. In front of her is a black cat, and the black cat stands for protective magic. The black cat is angry, it's hissing, and you know how cats get all puffed up, like a Halloween cat. And
yes,
this cat is saying, don't you dare come near me or mine. This cat is very protective. So I think you need to do some protection magic around the situation. Now, you also asked about how do you ensure protective a successful pregnancy, and that's two questions, okay?
I know,
but
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, we're only going to deal with one. And what I'm seeing here, if I read these three cards thinking of pregnancy, you need to do some protection work. That's the answer, because that's the only female card that comes out here. Now, the reason I went to the second question first is because if she gets him back, it's moot whether you'll get pregnant or not. You won't have him in your bed, right? So, no, she's not getting him back, but you need to do some protection work around yourself. The Queen of Wands represents strength and health, and so you need to get some health work done. Okay? That is my reading on you.
Thank you.
All right,
so
I'm gonna turn this over to Professor Porterfield.
Thank you, Miss Kat. Hello, ma'am. Glad to meet you.
Hi. Thank you.
I normally read nine cards, but because we're on the radio show, I only read three, somewhat similarly to Miss Kat. Let me ask you two questions before I start here. The gentleman in question, what is his age in relationship to yours? Is he older than you, the same age as you?
Or
younger than you? Okay, so is he
younger
than you or older than you?
Younger.
Younger, all right. And what is his profession?
He's a mechanic engineer, does a lot of field work, high places, scary places.
All right, scary places, right, that's okay. So the three cards I have laid out here are the Five of Diamonds, and to its immediate right, I have the Jack of Hearts, and to the Five of Diamonds left, I have the Seven of Clubs. Now, as Ms. Cat said, you did ask two questions, and I feel that Ms. Cat has very appropriately answered you about your second question. So I'm going to kind of talk here a little bit more about your first question about the pregnancy. We start here with the Five of Diamonds, and the Five of Diamonds is a meadow of flowers. It's rewards for wise choices, abundance. And so I do see that you will have another pregnancy in your life and that you will have a successful pregnancy. And let me offer you my sympathy and condolences on your loss. I myself have lost a child in the past, so I understand how hurtful that can be. But this card does tell me that there will come about a time when there will be a successful pregnancy and that you will have another child. Now, the problem that I see here is to the right of that card, where we are starting to talk about, in the style that I read, the outer world, things that are not immediately in your home, we have the Jack of Hearts. And that's the gentleman in question. And he's sitting to the right. He's not sitting to the left. He's not sitting in your home. So right now, the situation with him is still somewhat tenuous, and I think Ms. Cat is very correct to have advised you that you need some protection work around yourself, both about the pregnancy but also about keeping this other woman away to bring him closer in. And as I was reading, I did lay down a fourth card for clarification on him, and I got the King of Spades. So, yes, he does indeed work in some very dangerous situations. And I feel like he probably needs some protection on him as well. The fallback here, the holdup, the horse at the gate, as it were, is this Seven of Clubs over here to the left. And the Seven of Clubs represents a tiredness, too many irons in the fire, overwork, exhaustion, chaos. You are not yet physically ready to be pregnant again. You are exhausted. You have too many irons in the fire. Your forces are too scattered. You need to come back in. You need to find yourself some focus. I believe that some protection work would help that, at least in so much that it would give you something to focus on. You also need some time to heal your mind, your heart, and your body. And my recommendation for you, because we do have this Five of Diamonds, this does tell me there will be a child, but right now there does not need to be a child. Right now you need to heal yourself completely and wholly so that then you can go forward to have that child. And that's going to be something that's going to be spreading out into your life. Because we're also talking about clubs here, I'd like you to be very careful about how you make your money, about your responsibilities to your work and how you receive income. I'd like you to also sit down, take a look at your budget, make sure that your money's going in all the right places. Basically, it's time to just take a broom and clean everything up, put everything in order, and try to start dealing with the sadness of the loss, because when we lose a child, even if it's a miscarriage, even if it's an early miscarriage, that can be a hammer blow that can send cracks through the mirrors of our lives. And we kind of need to take a step back, take some time to heal from that. And if you do that, I believe that everything, and you follow the advice that you've been given prior to mine, I believe that you will see a successful resolution to your relationship with your young man and that you two can be together, although he does need to be somewhat safety-minded towards where he's putting himself in his work. And you will be able to have that child. And so I'm going to turn you over now to Conjure Man Ali, who I believe is going to have some root work advice for you.
Yay.
Yes, I am happy to provide root work advice here. What I would think, first and foremost, given the reading that we have, is some protection work in regards to the relationship. We have a very clear indication that he's going to reject it. He's going to say no, but that doesn't mean she's going to stop trying. And I think that's a very important distinction here. So what I want you to do is I want you to set up a space where you can work. It could be an altar, a table, a boudoir, whatever you want. I want you to get yourself a couple candle. I want you to get a Adam and Eve candle, one that will represent you and one that will represent him. You're going to inscribe your name on your candle, his name on his candle, and your signs of the zodiac. Okay, load it with your personal concerns. The more intimate, the better. Joint sexual fluids, I want you to have that on hand. But put put your hair on in your candle, his hair in his candle. You're going to anoint this with Love Me oil and Stay With Me oil. And you are going to place it on a heat-proof dish face-to-face towards one another. Then you're going to take red thread, and you are going to anoint it with your joint sexual fluids along with Stay With Me oil, and you are going to tie these two candles together face-to-face on that heat-proof dish with great intent and prayer, and you're going to set them there. Then, to the right of this, I want you to place a scissors. And I want you to open those scissors up. I want these metallic scissors. Open these scissors up. Then you're going to dress and anoint the sharp edges very carefully of the scissors with your urine. Now, I want you to collect this urine early in the morning. It needs to be the first urine of the day, the first pee of the day. And you're going to do it in silence. You're going to do it with intent. And you're going to anoint it. You just need a little bit. You're not dousing this thing. Just a little bit on the scissors. This is to protect and to drive away. Then you're going to take another dish, okay? It's going to be another heat-proof dish, and you're going to cover it with red peppers. It's going to be a bed of red peppers. You're going to take a black female figure candle, inscribe the ex's name on there, anoint it with hot foot oil, okay? And you are going to place that on top of the bed of red peppers. You're going to light these candles, all of them, and you are going to pray over them with all your heart. You're going to call upon your ancestors. You're going to call upon the Lord. You're going to call upon the higher power. You're going to ask that you and your boyfriend remain joined together in a loving, mutually fulfilling relationship, committed to one another, and that this woman is driven out of your life. Now, because she has a child with him, until he proves otherwise, she's not going to run very far, but it will keep her from meddling. Those scissors are going to act as a warning. Now, you let all of this burn down. Okay, let all the candles burn down.
In one sitting?
Yeah, you could do it in one sitting. You can do it over 7 days, whichever you prefer. It doesn't really matter. It's one time.
Okay.
What I want you to do is I want you to take the used or the remains of your candle wax and his candle wax, and you are going to place that under your bed, okay? You can wrap it up in a little bit of cloth. You can do whatever you want. You know, you can wrap it in underwear, you know, or joint underwear that you've knotted together. Put it, the wax in there. Keep it under your bed. You're going to take her candle wax along with the red peppers, and you're going to dispose of this at a crossroads or a running river. You're going to take the scissors and bury them in your front yard as a protection to keep her away.
Okay.
Wonderful. That's solid, solid work. And for those who want to know what the layout of such a spell looks like, you can see page 45 of The Art of Hoodoo Candle Magic by me, Kat Ironwood, for a very similar layout. A little bit different than what he described, but you can use that picture to guide you. Okay, you're listening to Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, and we'll be right after this break.
And y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phone and take our next client. And our next client is calling in from New York. This is Tara from 516. Tara, are you there, caller?
Yes.
Okay, great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you, this is your first time calling in to be on the air, that you have indeed gone to another reader. You don't indicate whether that is a member of AIR, and so I'm just going to go ahead and just let him know that you've gone to someone else, and that's fine, okay? And she writes, I have a lack of money due to a lack of employment. Lately, my husband has been coming this close to getting a job, but there is a tremendous competition, even for software developers in New York City. It's a complicated situation. What is wrong with us, and what can we do? Are we jinxed? Are we crossed? We want to get back on track and have some stability. Turning it back over to you, please.
All right. Well, we're going to let our next this caller have a reading, but I want to ask just a couple of questions. This is about primarily bad luck finding job or money, right? And
yes.
I'd like to know the astrological sign of your husband.
He's a Cancer.
A Cancer. Mm. And what is your astrological sign?
Aries.
Aries. Okay. So I'm going to turn that over then to Ali. Now he knows something, and we all know it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I have a couple questions of my own here. The first is, you said that he's a software developer. Is that a similar field you work in or a different field?
No, I used to work in the legal field.
Mm-hmm.
I was a legal word processor and a legal secretary,
mm-hmm.
and they've laid off a lot of people due to automation.
Yeah. And what age, if you don't mind me asking, you don't have to give me an exact, but what rough age are you and your husband?
I'm 51. He's 41.
Okay. The reason I ask that is in the software field, age does play a factor, and a lot of people are running up against that right now, unfortunately, in the computer world and the tech world. But I have pulled three cards to take a look and see what is going on. The first card that I have here is the Hanged Man. Yes, there is a jinx in play here. We have a man that's being hung by his ankle, and his arms are tied behind his back, and a halo is around him. This is a man who, regardless of whether he's innocent or not, is being hung. This is a man who, despite his qualities, he could be an upstanding individual, is still being hung out to dry. The situation is very clearly blocked. The situation is running up against obstacles. And both of your hands are tied in this situation in being able to kind of help yourself. Whenever I get this card as the first card, I usually recommend possibly some outside intervention, some help from a professional, some assistance and guidance from those who can step in and help. It also speaks to the circumstances themselves. I asked about the age. That's important. The market itself is difficult right now. It's not easy. The tech industry has a lot of people that are laid off, and frankly, all industries, people that are laid off and looking for jobs, and there's just more people looking and less jobs available for them. And this is really confirmed by the second card that we have here, which is the Two of Swords. The Two of Swords shows a woman sitting down on a bench, and she has swords she's crossing across her body, and there's a barren landscape behind her, a barren, barren sea. And this indicates that, yeah, the environment itself works against you. In addition to having a jinx, in addition to having this crossing, if you will, that's going on spiritually, you're also dealing with an environment that is not friendly, that is not conducive to, hey, here's all these jobs. Once I remove this jinx, I'll be able to land a job immediately. That, no, it is going to be a struggle. And this also ties very clearly to the legal profession you kind of mentioned, as this card invokes the figure of justice to a certain degree. She, too, is blind. The future is uncertain. It isn't clear. You are at this very delicate balance here. The market is not in your favor. You have a jinx that is working against you, that is crossing and binding. So this tells us how things are. Now, this next card is the hope, the future. Is there a chance for you to be successful? And the answer is yes. we have the Four of Wands as the final card. The Four of Wands shows us a married couple, and we know they're married because they're wearing the traditional Roman garb of marriage. And there's four staves in the front with garlands. This is the success of the harvest. So you can be successful, but I don't see this happening particularly soon. It's not going to happen in the next month. It's not going to happen in a matter of weeks. This is going to take some time. It's going to be a little bit longer than expected, and it will only bear fruit with patience, hard work, assistance from the outside, and also a matter of timing. A matter of just being at the right time, right place, and the environment shifting in your favor, having the right weather conditions, if you will. That's going to be essential for your success. So there is hope in the future, but it's success that comes after a lot of hard work, a lot of patience, and just a matter of waiting for the conditions themselves to change. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So, let's see if we can get Professor Porterfield to do a reading and see if we can get any further insight into this.
Thank you, Miss Kat. Hello, ma'am.
Hi.
Well, I've got three cards sitting here in front of me, and I have to tell you that, you know, I don't see a lot here in disagreement with what Ali just said. The first card I have here of the three cards that I've thrown for you is the Ace of Spades. All right, well, you know, now everybody can jump up and go, the Ace of Spades. Well, you know, we had the Hangman before, so it's not like we're involving in a vast improvement here. And the Ace of Spades is about endings. Traditionally, it is called the Death card, but it does often signal that. But here, I think what we're discussing is an ending. We're talking about a closing off. We're talking about a finality. And so definitely there have been some problems, and definitely those problems have been somewhat dire. And this also tells me that there is a sensation of, well, how do I want to put this? This has been very troublesome for both you and your husband. And you're probably feeling pretty much at your wit's end and at the end of your rope at this juncture. And there probably have been some very long and serious talks about, do we need to move? Do we need to make some very dire and serious changes in our life? And this card tells me that all of that concern you have had is appropriate. You are in a bad place. You are in a bad and troubled situation. But you didn't need me to tell you that. Let's look at something here that might not be known. What we have here sitting to the right of the Ace of Spades is the Three of Clubs. And the Three of Clubs represents a tendency towards stubbornness, quarrels, a digging in of heels, an inability or a failure to adapt or to, you know, as they said when I was growing up, play well with others. And this tells me that there may be some things going on with your husband that he's being a little too stodgy about, that he's being a little too not thinking outside the box, or that he is failing to look at some other opportunities that might come along, and that he needs to kind of open up his vision, he needs to open up his vistas, and he certainly needs to take a hard look at himself and say, am I being stubborn about this? Do I need to adapt in some way? Do I need to take some kind of a new course or new direction that may open up that kind of work opportunity, even if it should be a move? And then finally, the card we have to the left-hand side of the Ace of Spades is the Ten of Diamonds. And that tells me that in the end, this will even itself out. There will be an improvement. But like Ali has said, he's quite correct. This is not going to turn over tomorrow. This is not going to be a boom up. Oh, hey, that was no big deal. Why were we even worried? There's going to continue to be some struggles to get there, but at the end, there will be at least a level of financial security. Now, it's important to me that this is the 10 of diamonds and not the 10 of clubs. This does not necessarily say, oh, yeah, it's all going to open up. He's going to get the kind of job he's suited for. You're going to get the kind of job you're suited for. Everybody's going to have their perfect little career. This is the 10 of diamonds. This says there'll be enough money, honey. There'll be enough to pay the bill. There'll be enough to save the whatever. We may have to sell the A, B, and the C, but we'll make our way. And so to me, because, again, we've gone off in that direction, that tells me, going back to our three of clubs, that there may still need to be a need in a change in career or a change in direction. And because of some other meanings that the 10 of diamonds has, it also tells me that it is advisable for me to tell you to keep holding on. I know this is very troublesome for you, and I know you're feeling perhaps even more frustrated than he is right now, but just stay the course. It'll be all right. Now is not the time to start wandering away. And I hope that's been of some help to you.
Well, all right. Thank you, Charles. Okay, now I'm going to go into some root work advice, and I'm going to assume that, do you have a level of competence with root work? Have you ever tried this type of work before?
Well, sort of informally, I would say.
Okay.
Like going to a botanica and getting some bath crystals and using them, things like that.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to try to keep this at a pretty basic level, things that you can do that will be easy, simple to do. Now, first of all, I'm going to acquaint you with a root that we use for job getting. It's called gravel root. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before, but it is called gravel root because kidney stones used to be called kidney gravel, and gravel root was used to literally clear out kidney stones. I mean, that was an old herbal remedy. But it also is used to get jobs. It has two uses, it removes impediments. You see, it clears you out. If you've got stones in your pathway and your way seems dark as night, that's when you use gravel root. That's a quote from an old song.
Okay.
So gravel root is used to clear out things like that. And it's sometimes people think of it gets me a job, but it also basically clears away other people that are interfering. It's just a very good route for job getting. It is often mixed with salt for job getting. And so you want to have gravel root and salt. Now, there are three oils I'm going to mention to you. One is called Steady Work Oil. One is called Crucible of Courage Oil. And the other is called Money Stay With Me Oil. Now, why didn't I say money drawing oil? Because you need to get a firm footing underneath you here. It has been indicated in the readings that you may need to tighten your belt for a little while longer. Money Stay With Me is the belt tightening oil. Now, you don't need to use the oils. You could also use them in the form of bath crystals. It would be Money Stay With Me, Steady Work, and Crucible of Courage bath crystals. But you want to add gravel root and salt. Gravel root already is in Steady Work, but we want to up the gravel root percentage here by quite a bit. You can use the mix as an incense. You can make them as bath crystals. You can get them as oils and even as powders. I want you to work on redoing his resume and yours too. And it's going to take, really redoing it. Redo the whole resume from new font to everything. And when it's done, I want you to take the salt and gravel root and dust a little bit on there and then flip it off the paper. Now, you're going to tell me right away, well, we do all of our job submissions now electronically. Yeah, but you're going to make a printout copy that you're going to proofread. And when you get a fair copy, a clean copy that has no proofreading errors of the resume, I want you to work with that. It's going to go into...
Okay.
The spiritual world, even as you send the thing out electronically. You're going to print out the resume. I want you to get a candle, and a good one would be a Steady Work candle. And you can dress it with those, or a little bit of gravel root, a little bit of salt, or you can buy a pre-dressed Steady Work candle from Lucky Mojo. We pre-dress it for you with those roots and herbs. And you're going to put that on top of those papers. Also, in between the papers, I would like you to write out in your own handwriting, a copy of the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And if you are highly anti-Jewish or anti-Christian, then write out a prayer in your own words. But I prefer the 23rd Psalm. It is pretty universally used by Jews and Christians as a job getter and other types of goodness getting. And also, in amongst those papers, every company that, to which an application is sent, you need to get something of that company. So you can print it out from online or get a business card, whatever it may be. And if you, if they are local, you can even get a pinch of dirt from around the building where they are and put that with the papers. That goes on under a plate or something, and then on top of that goes the candle. And the candle can be a vigil candle. So those are the way I would work this, and I would continue to burn those candles until, you know, one after another, till I had some success. Nagar Shiva posted something really good in the chat room, which is the Crystal Silence League, and that's very good. Thank you, Shiva. The Crystal Silence League is a free prayer service that we offer, and people can post up there their need for support in prayer. People will pray for you, and they will hit a little button saying they prayed for you. You'll get an email saying that they prayed. And it is a fantastic resource. There has been a lot of miracles through the Crystal Silence League, and you can find that at crystalsilenceleague.org. And that is just a wonderful resource that is free, and it's available through Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. Now, one more thing. When you do go in for personal interviews, I'd like you to be wearing some clothes that were laundered with the Steady Work bath crystals. Okay, so you just put a little pinch of that in your laundry, and any clothes that can be washed will be washed with that. Just a little pinch of it in there in the rinse water, that's fine. And that will be what we call dressing for success, and get you maybe some Crown of Success to mix with the Steady Work to get your courage up and get your ability to do good interviews, in-person interviews. Okay? Does anybody else have any? I mean, we got a few more minutes here. Does anybody else have a minute or two of ideas?
Yes, I have. I have one other thing I would like to add. In particular, when you go in to have the interview, when we're out of the electronic world and we're going to go into the face-to-face world, I would advise you, if you can find out beforehand the name of the person that's going to be interviewing you, which we often know you're going to be interviewing with so-and-so, I want you to go and take a brand new deck of cards, and from that deck of cards, if you will be interviewing with a man, you're going to take the King of Clubs. If you're going to be interviewing with a woman, you'll take the Queen of Clubs. And I want you to write their name at the top on a face card. You will notice there's a bar, a clear bar of, you know, white all the way around it. I want you to write their name up there at the top, and I want you to write the date of the interview at the bottom, almost like it was a birth date. Again, Queen of Clubs for a woman, King of Clubs for a man. If you do not know the name, then you're just going to write in the interviewer or the person who is interviewing me, okay? And then you're going to put that into your left shoe. You're going to put that into your left shoe, but you're going to put it face down so that the face of that court card is down. And then you will write your name on the back of that card and put your foot in your shoe so that they are under your feet while you are in.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Charles. That's a great little spell.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. All righty. Well, you folks are listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with our special guest, Professor Porterfield, my co-host, Conjure Man Ollie, and coming up, our free spell.
You are listening to another fine production of the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters, spanning a wide range of topics. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner. Starring Candelo Cambisa and Malik Cambisa, this is the voice of authentic Cuban Palo and Dominican Sanse in the United States, with special guests representing the entire range of African traditional and diasporic religions. you can hear Candela's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. On Tuesdays, a pair of outstanding hosts point the way to essential values. First, on the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance in the practical use of crystals and crystal balls for the development of mental concentration, mind power, divination, and telepathic communication. His show airs Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Once you have your bearings, engage in activism and social justice in the streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly brings listeners front-page reports on the ongoing struggle for racial, gender, and social justice, shedding much light on civil and social rights issues. Her cry for freedom begins at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and inspires us for 1 hour. On Wednesdays, Andrea Weston's Liquid Libations pour forth to bless us with poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances. If you are a poet or someone who simply enjoys the beauty and power of words, then Liquid Libations welcomes your participation. Call in and read your work. Listen for Liquid Libations on Wednesdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, from deep in the heart of Texas, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the silver-tongued professor shares his knowledge of roots and delivers the lucky numbers. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. And on Saturdays, Kai Armand broadcasts On Sacred Ground, a tapestry of our times, comprising history, ethnography, and shamanism, featuring the voices of the land and the deceased, aided by scholars, spirit workers, and environmentalists. Kai's show airs from noon to 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Tax and license may apply. Train departure times and Burma Shave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
And now, y'all, we're going to go ahead and turn this over to Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas, for our free spell section. And here we are, Professor Porterfield. Professor Porterfield? Hello?
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. I appreciate that.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Sorry, just a little patchy fog there. Hi, folks. I'm going to be talking to you about a spell called Four Kings to Aid a Man in Life. Now, it doesn't have to be a man. We'll get to that in a minute. To do this spell, you're going to take four kings, the four kings, from a new deck of cards. All right? King of Clubs, King of Diamonds, King of Hearts, and King of Spades. You're going to dress the King of Clubs with steady work oil for a good job. You're going to dress the King of Diamonds with money stay with me oil for abundance. You will dress the King of Hearts with Dixie Love oil for, well, you'll figure that out. And you're going to dress the King of Spades with Run Devil Run oil to help drive away evil, both from outside influences and from bad habits that the gentleman may have himself. You will place the King of Spades face down and recite over it James 4:7. James 4:7 will be recited over the face down King of Spades. Then you will place the King of Clubs face up, crossways, over the King of Spades. So you see, you will have made a cross. You have made an equilateral cross. King of Spades will be face down. King of Clubs will be face up, crossways, across the King of Spades. And you will recite Leviticus 19:13. That's Leviticus 19:13 over the King of Clubs. Then you will place the King of Diamonds again face up and again crossways over the King of Clubs. So you see, you're stacking them. You're making a little cross card sandwich here. And over the King of Diamonds, you will recite Proverbs 3:10. That's Proverbs 3:10. Then finally, you will place the King of Hearts, again face up and again crossways, over the King of Diamonds, and you will recite Colossians 3:14. Once again, that's Colossians 3:14 over the King of Diamonds. Now, get yourself some olive oil, pray the 23rd Psalm over that olive oil, and dress a plain white candle with the olive oil that you have prayed the 23rd Psalm over. Place the candle on top of the stack of cards that we have, light the candle at dawn, and recite the 27th Psalm. Once again, that's the 27th Psalm. Now, once that candle has burnt down, you're going to take all of the spell remains, the burnt wax, the melted wax, the cards themselves. You're going to take all of those, and you're going to bury them in your backyard. If you do not have a backyard, you will bury them in a potted plant that you will keep in your home. And I suggest a fern, or my favorite is a peace lily. And, of course, you will tend that plant and keep that plant well. So that's if you do not have a backyard. Now, what if you don't need to do this for a man? It's simple as can be. You take the four queens, and you will do the spell exactly as described, only you will do it with the four queens. If you need to bless and aid a child or a younger person, teenager, you will take the four jacks and use those. So there you go, folks. I hope it works well for you, and that's a little spell from the upcoming book, A Deck of Spells.
Wow. Okay. That was fantastic.
I love that.
You know, there's nothing I can add to that, and it's perfect in and of itself. This is the kind of quality of spell work and the depth of spell work that is found in this book, A Deck of Spells. And those of you who pre-order the book, Charles will be signing them, and he is going to be out at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, and he's going to be teaching from this book. I believe, is it not true, Charles? Everyone will get a deck of, I mean, not only the book, A Deck of Spells, but they'll actually get a card deck to take home.
That's right. Everyone's going to get a deck of cards as well.
Fantastic.
All righty. All right. Well, I'm going to turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee, and she's going to take us on out of here.
Well, yes, ma'am, Ms. Cat. Thank you, Ms. Cat and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Professor Porterfield, ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. And we invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Kyle Armand of Conjure in the City in Brooklyn, New York. And he'll be discussing plant spirits. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard live every week on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archives by luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night, Miss Tammy Lee. I want to give a special shout-out to the chat room. We had an active and helpful chat room, and the chat logs are being kept, and they will go online at some point. Thank you, Professor Porterfield, for being our guest.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing Patchy in there for just a second. Thank you, Conjure and Ollie, as always.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, we're going to miss you at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival this year. I know
I
you've got
know,
other things going on. But
I wish you could be there.
Yeah, but it's going to be a great thing. They The early bird special is over. We are now selling tickets at our regular price, but wait for it. That's still cheaper than the gate price. So if you haven't bought your tickets, come on and buy them now, because you're just going to kick yourself if you have to buy them at gate price on the day of the show. May 16th and 17th, 2015. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.